Hello and welcome to Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, where every week we talk about scientific misconceptions we all have, and we hope that you learn something new about the world. I'm here with my co-host, Margaret Target Hanslick Burton.
And I'm here with my co-host, Camden Dog Dad Hanslick Burton.
Welcome to the show. Our first segment every week is where we share something that we are excited about. Margaret, why did we choose those new nicknames?
I think ours is the same this week.
Yep.
The new year.
Oh.
Oh. I mean, sure. We are recording on New Year's Eve, but I don't want to speak for you, but I am very excited because we just adopted a dog.
Little Satchel. Who is behind us?
She is behind us. She has been placated with a frozen Kong with peanut butter inside it.
So, listeners,
so that we can record.
We have maybe 30, 40 minutes max
before she gets bored of it.
It's a race against the clock.
Her name is Satchel after Satchel Paige, the famous pitcher who played in Kansas City, right, Kimmon?
Mm-hmm. That is true.
She is she's 8 weeks old. 8 weeks, 6 days old, I think.
Little black lab mix with white on her paws. And how do you describe it, Margaret?
I describe it as she has two no-show socks, one ankle sock and one knee-high sock.
Yep. And a little tip of white on her tail.
Yeah, she's perfect. We love her. We are so excited about her. She's a lot of work, but she is perfect.
Yeah,
so.
We have a schedule that we stick to. And we've already enrolled ourselves in her in a puppy course that we take online. We're all going to school and we'll get a diploma soon.
Yep.
And because our media consultants told us we can't do a whole episode about her, this is just about as much as we'll talk about her, except probably a lot more.
Okay, I was going to say. All right.
But Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Happy new dog.
Happy new year, dog, everybody.
Happy new year, dog,
Let's
everyone.
Get out of this year fast. All right. So we're going to head to our next segment called What Is That Sound?
Sorry.
Margaret, cue the theme music. What?
I was going to say, I almost said it because I feel like I've hosted a lot recently. So I feel like I almost.
I was
going to
dub
so
over your giant breath that you took, but now I won't. So what is that sound?
The theme song?
Theme song. It's a show where we keep with. I thought you were going to play it over me.
Oh, I am. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's a episode within an, or part within a show, within a show where we talk about a sound that one of us found that the other one doesn't know. And you're just going to play along with us and find out what that sound is.
What's that sound? Yeah. Today I have the sound that Camden doesn't know about. So you ready, Camden?
Yes.
I'm going to take my headphones out of my computer.
You didn't ask that.
Well, she's otherwise occupied, which is fine. Okay, you ready? It's 10 seconds long.
Okay. Whoa. That sounded electronic in nature.
Any guesses? Any thoughts?
Whoa, that was a wild sound. Can I hear it again?
Yep. Don't look at my screen.
Okay, now it makes me think it's like a chipmunk standing on a light transformer. like...
That was the sound of Satchel going too fast with the peanut butter.
Gotta take it slow sometimes. I don't know. New year, do whatever you want. I really don't. I'm going to say like a rodent of some sort. It sounded like something chewing. I don't know what the electronic... Are those the same thing making that sound?
They're two different things making that sound. Like there's one you hear first and then one you hear second. But they're the same things. They're just two different things of the same thing.
No, I don't know.
Okay. It is the sound of juvenile kangaroos.
What?
I know. Here, you can watch it this time. Ready?
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that wild?
So the electric sound was just someone having a bad microphone.
Yes, yes.
But whoa, weird.
Yep. Yeah, those are the sounds of juvenile kangaroos.
Joeys.
Yes, Joeys, thank you. You can find those on the very scientific YouTube channel, Rib Ticklers. but they do communicate a lot through that kind of clicking sound. And I hadn't heard it before. I wondered today, what does a kangaroo sound like? Because I usually think of them as pretty quiet. But that is one of their many sounds. One of their many sounds. They're vocal communicators.
Wow. All right. Thanks,
Margaret. There you go. Yeah.
Little Joey's tickling our ribs. Oh, hi, little Joey.
Maybe the peanut butter's run out. Okay. We'll just...
All right. So we're going to go into our next segment called What Is That Sound? Oh. All right. So let's take it into the main segment of the show, the misconceptions. Every episode, we each bring a new scientific misconception to share, explain, and discuss. As a note, each co-host researches their misconception on their own and brings it to the podcast. Satchel is sad she doesn't get to bring hers. The other co-host one's never heard this before. This is primarily to make it feel like a discussion where the other person doesn't feel like they have to prepare and can just learn alongside of you, the listener.
Yes, indeed.
And I think a certain someone wants to be part of the show.
All right.
So who wants to hold her first while the other one shares their misconception?
Well, let's do the random number generator real quick.
And as Margaret does that, listeners, we're trying to be good dog parents. We're not going to let her out. Our backs are turned to her right mm-hmm. now until she stops crying, because we don't want her to learn that crying gets her out of the crate.
That's
we're
right.
trying to reinforce some of the calmness.
There is a lot of animal psychology involved in training. I mean, that's what it is. That's yep. what dog training is animal psychology. We want to do a whole episode in the future about dog parent misconceptions.
Yeah.
Okay, Cameron, pick number one or number two.
I'm going to go with two.
It's me. You hold her first, and I'll do my misconception.
All right. Let's make sure she's not crying.
Okay. Cameron, are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Well, actually, very helpfully, Satchel's kind of giving us a great transition because, you know, she's eating peanut butter. What do you make with peanut butter a lot of the time?
Cheese.
Peanut butter cheese?
Yeah.
Nope. Peanut butter cookies is what I was thinking about. Or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's true, too. But it's also the holidays. People are making and eating cookies, all kinds of other good baked goods. And it's hard to resist eating the dough before it goes in the oven.
I speak
personally.
That's how I can't resist any of that with cookies.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten a raw dough before, Camden?
A raw dough? Yes.
Have you ever eaten raw dough more than once?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
But I've been always thought I shouldn't because there's egg in it and I could be hurt.
Yes. Interesting. So... we hear, like you're saying, that, and I was told this too, that we don't want to eat the raw dough because it has eggs in it, and those eggs could give me salmonella, for example. They're bad for me. So that's why, because of those eggs, I shouldn't eat raw dough. But this is what I am going to now term a improv misconception, because there's a yes and in it. So what I mean by that is, yes, we shouldn't eat cookie dough because of the raw eggs. And there's something else that's potentially worse in the raw dough that we need to avoid.
Oh, this is good because it opens up a lot of misconceptions I've sort of avoided for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Of the kind of misconception and the way you didn't think it was going.
Right. Yes.
Cool.
Yes,
I have no idea where you're going. Yes. And what? What is that?
So, yeah, again, to recap, we are correct in what we've been told, which is that raw egg in raw dough is bad for us. But there's something else that's there. So first, yes, salmonella can sometimes be found in raw eggs. Salmonella can make you pretty sick. We'll touch on that later. So we're familiar. Most people are familiar with the danger of raw eggs. But what else is in a dough, Cameron? What's like the most important thing about a dough?
The flour.
The flour.
I was sweating on that one.
The flour. There's a lot of flour in raw dough. And the flour is raw too, like the eggs, meaning that it hasn't gone through any processes that would kill germs that could be in it, like E. coli. So E. coli, as we might know, causes food poisoning. And because of that, harmful bacteria like E. coli have to undergo cooking in order to be killed and therefore enable us to eat them. So grinding or bleaching flour, those are processes that grains go through. Those are not effective methods for eliminating bacteria in the flour. Because the grain that the flour is made from can be contaminated at any point while it's being produced, from the field where it's grown to the place it's shipped, while it's being packaged in your home. It's not just contaminated by E. coli, for example. There are other contaminants that need to be cooked out of it. Because one of those things that, you know, just to make it clear how gross it could be, is that the grain could be contaminated, for example, in the field by animal poop getting on the grain, which is then harvested, made into flour, put in your cookie dough, and you eat it. There's been no cooking off process before that. How does that sound, Cameron?
It sounds great, and I'm really excited for our listeners who have all returned from a New Year's Eve where they might have had cookies.
Cookies are fine. It's the dough.
It's the dough. Cookie poop.
No. A cookie poop, as we all know, is a chocolate chip.
That's outrageous.
So, some effects of E. coli and some background about it. We're familiar with the term. We hear about these outbreaks a lot. Things get recalled, lettuce, produce, meat sometimes. But E. coli is a bacteria. It makes its home in the intestines of people and other animals. And I didn't know this, or I didn't remember it, but most strains or types of E. coli are harmless, but some have pretty severe effects. So,
dang, that's a great misconception. Yeah. That's a double misconception.
Most strains are harmless, but some have some pretty severe effects. That's the one we think of most of the time. And those effects include vomiting, severe stomach cramps, diarrhea, and those can last about a week. And if you're in an at-risk population, they can have even more serious side effects too. There were two recent outbreaks of E. coli that had to do with raw flour in 2016 and in 2019. In 2016 specifically, people got sick after eating raw flour that was in raw dough, at least some of them did, and it had been contaminated with E. coli somewhere along the way. And then salmonella, we often think of it, of involving eggs. It also affects the intestines and can be found in there. But salmonella is shed, and which means gotten rid of and spread through poop as well.
Great.
Or feces, if you will. The majority of the people that get infected with salmonella have eaten foods that have somehow come into contact with the poop of an animal that had it. So, you know, we think about eggs. Oh, they have a protective shell, and they do, but sometimes that salmonella can be inside the egg before it's developed that shell. So the shell isn't going to eliminate everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was just checking. Satchel wants to add something. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What did she say?
She just said she did not know that either.
Yeah. There's a lot she doesn't know. She's 8 weeks old. There's so many scientific misconceptions she's not aware of.
She does know sit, so she knows some things.
She does know some things. Salmonella also has an amazing array of symptoms, like, again, our old friend diarrhea, stomach cramps, fever, and it also can last up to a week. But again, it's more dangerous for people with compromised immune systems, like infants and people over 65. So we got those two friends in our, or rather two enemies in our raw cookie dough or raw dough which are the eggs and even maybe more so the flour, because there's so much flour in baked goods. But what can we do about it? People eat.
Bake it.
Baked goods. Yes, we can bake it.
Good. Satchel fed me that one.
Yep. Yep. We can wash our hands. We can make sure we're not letting children play with or eat raw dough. I remember doing crafts with dough as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I think I made ornaments out of it, if I'm remembering correctly. But that's, you know, it poses a risk, of course, because kids tend to put things in their mouth like a puppy. And some of that could be raw dough. And
she feels targeted.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not at all. It's not about you, Satchel. But you also need to clean up well after using raw ingredients. Make sure you're wiping down your counter with soap and water. And then, like you were saying, cook your food. There are many food preparation methods that kill bacteria, including baking, boiling, roasting, frying, microwaving, and more. And all those things will kill off those bacteria that could be harmful to us. Now, if you really need a cookie dough fix, which I think your favorite flavor of ice cream is cookie dough, right?
Yeah, cookie dough ice, which I think cookie dough ice cream does, isn't it usually chocolate chip cookie dough?
It is. I think so. Mm-hmm.
I feel like when people, like when I order cookie dough, I expect chocolate chips.
Yes, I think that's normal.
No, I want ice
cream. I'm sorry. But that's fine, because those companies take steps to get rid of the bacteria, to heat treat their flour.
You're saying they're not just willy-nilly giving us raw cookie dough.
No, they are not. They're not. So companies like those that make cookie dough ice cream, or there are some companies that even just make the cookie dough that's safe to eat raw. I remember in middle school, they sold cookie dough that was supposed to be safe for us to eat. And the rumor was that, they just used the cookie dough that they had and said it was safe to eat. But I don't know why we were really in a mistrusting of adults mood at that point.
Middle school. I was mistrusting the world in middle school.
I mean,
I didn't understand the world.
Have we learned nothing from 2020? Mistrusting. But there is this vegan cookie dough company, for example, called Eat Pastry, that I've seen in grocery stores, and I really want to try it. This is not a sponsored ad. I'm just really want to try some.
Flour is vegan, so it can still have the same issue, right?
But they heat treat their flour. You can kind of cook it without cooking the whole thing.
Gotcha. Do you get that?
She's delighted.
Yeah.
So there are ways to eat cookie dough. There's ways to eat dough. But just make sure that you're not eating raw flour or raw eggs. The end.
Thanks, Margaret.
You're welcome.
I guess I do want cookie dough now. That I didn't make.
Yes.
Satchel, you want Satchel some cookie dough? Because you cannot too. Have some.
All right, Kim, why don't you tell me about a misconception that I have?
All right.
Are we going to switch off Satchel?
Yep.
Okay.
Satchel switch.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum. Oh,
we always do that song. Hi.
You want to see if you hit again?
All right, Satchel, you're coming over to my side of the office now, huh?
And that was Satchel Switch, brought to you by Coca-Cola.
by Eat Pastry.
By Eat Pastry. Okay. Margaret and Satchel.
Yes.
Satchel.
She's ready.
Oh, okay. Let me ask you something.
Both of us or just me?
Both of you.
Okay.
At any point, both of you can answer.
Okay.
What have you heard about twins as it relates to, are you able to predict if you are likely to have twins?
I have a friend who is having twins.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised that they were having twins because twins don't run in their families. So I feel like that's a predictor for having twins or not, is whether or not someone in your family has them. But I don't know if that's like a predictor on the maternal side or the paternal side, or if that's even a predictor at all.
All right. Welcome to the misconceptions. Are twins genetic? Do they run in the family?
Are they not? Are they not?
Welcome to the show. All right. Like you did, Margaret, I'm actually just working off two citations today. Well, three-ish.
What did I say mine? Oh, no, I didn't say mine. Hold on. Can I go back and say mine real quick?
Yep.
My sources are, thank you for the reminder, the Mayo Clinic, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, UC Davis Health, pediatrician Rachel Height of UC Davis Children's Hospital, the FDA, Medical Associates of Northwest Arkansas. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, I'm giving you three-ish. Stanford University, NPR, and just what I sort of already knew about twins. Sometimes I feel like my degree in biology helps me, and a lot of times I'm like, wonder when I was supposed to learn that. This is sort of one of those times. So let's start off with some definitions. There are identical and fraternal twins. Do either of you two know the difference?
Identical, they share their, I think those are twins that were one egg that split. And then the fraternal twins were two eggs that were fertilized by two different sperm. Is that right?
Yes. So an identical twins, like you said, it is an already fertilized egg that splits. Fraternal is two separate eggs that are fertilized.
Okay.
Fun fact I learned, identical twins often share a placenta.
Oh.
And fraternal twins often have their own. So when people are doing sonograms and looking to see if someone is going to have twins, looking for the placenta can be easier than looking for the tiny little embryo or the growing fetus.
That's interesting. So they look for the placenta.
Not all the time. But they can. I mean, it is a good indicator. If you see multiple placentae, then it is more likely that you are having fraternal twins.
And do we eat our placentas, Camden?
We do not.
No, we do not.
Check out episode.
Camden's looking at our spreadsheet.
Ooh, 37. Not worth it. So do twins run in the family? If someone has a fraternal twin, they are 2.5 times more likely to have fraternal twins than the average person.
Oh.
So if you yourself are a fraternal twin.
I am not.
You are 2.5 times more likely to have a fraternal twin. But there is a catch. First off, which twins did I just say you're more likely to have?
Fraternal.
Yes. The first misconception is it is not just twins that run in the family. Identical twins, we said, comes from the splitting of an egg.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to put her back in?
Why? Does she seem fancy?
I just put her in and shut it. See if she still wants them. Or
we're fine.
Okay. So, like I said, an embryo needs to be split in identical twins. That, as far as we know, is pretty random. There are no genes that really control that because it's not really supposed to happen.
Okay.
At least not before, like, it's not supposed to split completely in two. So identical twins do not run in the family. That there is really current research that suggests it would. So fraternal twins, the first misconception, are the only twins that run in the family. The second is that they don't quite run in the family the way that a lot of people think. When I googled, do fraternal twins run? It was on the mother's side, on the father's side.
Very far.
Super fast. Are they superheroes? So thinking about what leads to twins or babies in, alone. Ovulation, Margaret, what is that?
It's when an egg is released. And can either be fertilized by sperm or not. And
yep.
If it's not, it goes into, it's released and is carried outside the body.
Yeah.
In a period.
Yep. And so ovulation is supposed to generally release just one egg at a time. That is the goal. One egg per cycle. So if a person were to release two eggs, that is not, I want to say normal, but not what was biologically supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have a much larger chance of having fraternal twins if you have...
If you are a fraternal twin, right?
Yes, because if your mother, quote unquote, we'll use some of these terms, had twins,
mm-hmm.
and you are someone who ovulates, mm-hmm. you are more likely to release more than one egg at a time.
Okay.
So while you could release, while any person who ovulates could release more than one egg at a time, you are more likely to if your mother, quote unquote, person who ovulated and had you also had that more than once at a time.
That makes sense.
That is controlled genetically. From the studies looked at in one of the articles from Stanford, that mostly is determined by a gene that controls the follicle stimulating hormone, or FSH.
Follicle stimulating?
Yep.
Like, I think of follicles and I think of hair.
Yes. So there are follicles on your ovaries, on a person's ovaries, that releases the egg. And as you can imagine, a follicle stimulating hormone stimulates the follicle, and mm-hmm. it's part of your natural cycle.
Okay.
A person's natural cycle to release an egg. As you might well take a guess, people who are more likely to have fraternal twins have higher or lower levels of this hormone.
Higher,
yes. And so that has been linked to the children of someone who had fraternal twins. They also had higher levels of that if they were born with ovaries. So you don't have ovaries, you're not producing this hormone. So that's partly where this misconception also comes into play.
Okay.
Only the person who is ovulating, that's the only person we really care about when it comes to this. Yes, Satchel? Okay, you good point.
To burp
strong point.
Microphone.
Yeah. Such a little baby. Mm-hmm. Just what sounds can I make at the world? So like when you think about it that way, someone doesn't have ovaries, is not producing eggs.
Mm-hmm.
This is where this misconception comes that, oh, twins skip a generation.
Oh.
Well, it would if you can't yourself have a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't release eggs, you don't ovulate, you are a person who only donates sperm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's skipping your generation. You can't have the child.
That's a good point.
And so people will say like, oh, my mom had fraternal twins. I wonder if me, a person who only can produce sperm,
mm-hmm.
is more likely to have fraternal twins. No, you don't. Your sperm does not magically induce eggs being produced.
That makes so much sense.
It's very sort of, when you think about it that way, it makes absolutely no sense
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that your sperm would allow someone. If I'm breaking this news to you for the first time, your sperm or someone's sperm does not allow someone else's egg to be produced in humans. Mm-hmm. That's just not how the cycle works. And so when you think about it that way, they don't skip a generation. It just affects people who ovulate. And of course, if you are undergoing fertility treatments, you are more likely to also have fraternal twins. So I was speaking mostly just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have been implanted with multiple eggs, obviously you are going to have a higher likelihood of fraternal twins, or you might be given hormones that would allow you to produce more eggs at once. So those can also happen and are a lot more common with people undergoing fertility treatment. Margaret, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have there ever been cases of fraternal triplets, quadruplets, or more?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like a lot of that IVF, we hear about mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah, kind of a trick question. Most triplets, quadruplets that you can think of are going to be fraternal.
I just feel like splitting the egg into four is such a there's such a low chance of that happening.
Great logical conclusion. If it is such a low chance to split it once, mm-hmm. to split that same egg again mm-hmm. into a third or to fourth mm-hmm. Is very unlikely. So to give you statistics on that, it is a 1 in 85 chance of having a fraternal twin.
Wow. Wait, 1 in 85? That's mm-hmm. higher than I would think.
And again, it is even lower if you yourself are a fraternal twin or come from a family of fraternal twins. Okay.
Or it's even more likely.
More likely, yeah. Sorry. Lower, I guess, higher odds. Mm-hmm. Lower number. So that's 1 in 85 for fraternal twins. Identical twins is 1 in 250. Having identical triplets is 1 in 50,000.
Wow.
And there have been cases of identical quadruplets. A 1 in 11 million chance.
Oh my
Most
God.
Recently in the United Kingdom, there was a documented case during COVID of that happening just this year.
Wow.
There are only 72 known documented cases of identical quadruplets.
How many?
72.
Okay. Wow. That makes
1 in 11 million chance.
Wow.
Another interesting study I ran across, one study of 125 women from New York City in the Journal of Reproductive Medicine also showed that your chances of having fraternal twins slightly goes up if you are older, if you are larger or taller than the average person.
Huh.
Older, larger, taller.
And that's for which type of twin?
Fraternal. Identical is still, as we think, just pretty random.
Do they know why that might be? Is it correlation or causation?
Yes, a great question. I don't know. I didn't read the entire article. That was just like what they found. And again, this was them looking at the descriptors of these people and looking for trends in them having twins. So you're right. Some of those just might be coincidence. And also, if you are taller, you are potentially more likely to be larger.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might be something there that's linked. They're not all independent of each other. But yeah, twins do run in the family, sort of.
And not in the way that you think.
Not in the way that you think. If they are fraternal twins and if you are the person ovulating, sorry, people giving sperm, you do not control whether you have twins or not.
That is fascinating, Camden.
Thanks.
That is fascinating. I really did think it was like, identical twins run on the dad's side or something like that. But
Thank you. All right. At the end of each episode, we share something that we've been reading, listening to, watching, or otherwise consuming this week. Margaret and Satchel, you get to go first.
Well, Satchel has been consuming about 3 to 4 cups of puppy food every day and
nice.
A lot of treats.
Oh, that's a new one. So I'll put that on the...
Yeah. And a lot of treats and just the sights and sounds of being alive. Because can you imagine being 8 weeks old? Everything is new. And right now she's consuming the desk a little bit. So we're moving a bit. but I... Relatedly, have been consuming a lot of, and I think, Kim, and you probably are going to say this too, but I've been consuming a lot of dog training videos and dog training materials.
How did you know?
What have you been consuming, Kim? And something drastically different, I'm
How
sure?
to train a dreamdog.com.
Tell me about that.
It's a website. offered by our trainer, Michelle. I call her our trainer. She has a YouTube channel. She has this program. She does not know who we are. But we like to call our trainer Michelle. Yeah, you're right. I'll tag them.
Thank you.
No, but she's great. She uses positive reinforcement, a lot of animal behavioral like psychology, like you were saying earlier, Margaret, sort of dispelling, honestly, a lot of misconceptions about how just positive reinforcement works and how animals learn behaviors. I have one that stuck out to me, like one that I've had to correct myself on, the misconception that dogs can understand the tone of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So like people will say, like, I'm not going to use her name, but like Jerry, as like a way to tell them when they're being a good job. I would love a dog named Jerry. That just confuses dogs. They don't understand tone. They just hear their name and then start to misunderstand when their name means a good or bad thing. So that, and there's a lot other ones. I don't know if there are any that stuck out to you, but that's what I've been consuming a lot of. And I know Margaret has as well.
Yes, I have. Yes. Thank you, Michelle. We love you.
Satchel loves you.
Satchel loves you vicariously.
She probably hears your voice a lot because sometimes we are like, oh, what would Michelle say right now? Satchel chews on her arm.
Yeah, she's just got so many puppy teeth. It's so, we often say, it's so hard being so small.
And it really is.
It really is. But Satchel has been such a good girl. She's so smart. She's so smart. And yeah, we're really happy that she's in our lives. Are you, Camden?
Always. Yes, she is a perfect little dream dog.
She is a perfect girl. Camden, I see here on our virtual sheet called Google Docs, that we have an exciting announcement.
Yeah, as a reminder, you should keep your ears out for our new show that's in the works, Gotta Classify 'Em All, a Pokemon-centered show where your favorite hosts will break down Pokemon.
That's us.
Yeah. And now Satchel. And the science behind them, such as how was Pikachu inspired? Are there really animals like Pikachu with electric powers? Are there animals that can float or put other animals to sleep like Jigglypuff? And so many more. How did the world of Pokemon and biology intersect?
I'm very excited about that because I feel like you have a better base of knowledge about both animals and Pokemon, and I only really know about animals, so I'm going to do some learning.
A fresh look at Pokemon, gotta class them all, so stay tuned.
Gotta classify them all.
What'd I say?
Class them all.
Gotta classify them all.
Gotta class them all is our podcast about encouraging kids to go to class.
Gotta class them all, get in class. Well, thank you so much for listening today. If you like this episode or any of our others, please rate us and leave us a quick review. Written reviews are the ways that a lot of listeners give new podcasts a try. Please leave us a 5-star quick positive review.
Thank you also to those of you who have written us positive reviews. We really, really appreciate it.
It warms the
cockles of our hearts.
You can find more content from us on our social media pages at Instagram at Don't Pee on Your Leg.
Twitter at Don't Pee on Your Leg. The P is, it's just a P, not P-E-E.
Yep, the letter P. And Facebook at facebook.com/Don't Pee on Your Leg.
Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions is a podcast produced by 2 Birds, 1 Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at 2Birds1Scone.org.
Our original theme music is by Camillo.
And if you have a scientific misconception that you want explained or discussed, you want to provide feedback to us like Satchel's doing right now.
Satchel's got some feedback.
Please email us at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com.
All right, Satchel, here we go. Have a great week. Good girl. Good girl.
Good girl.